Hello, I'm John Mullen, and I'm here to talk to Ian McEwan about his new novel, On Chesil Beach. Hi, Ian.
Hi, John.
So, Ian, I was thinking it must be strange to read Chesil Beach aloud, given that it seems so much a book about things not being spoken and not said, and so much of the book happens outside speech, as it were.
Well, I have read it aloud to various audiences in the last year. I love reading from work in progress. I love to sort of roll the words around out loud. It's like an editing process, in fact. I've just come back from Stanford, where I gave a reading of a passage, a rather excruciating passage in the novel, in the chapter 3, when things are heading towards their disasters. I'd read it in Lewes, in England, in Sussex,
yes.
Just before, to a, I think, appreciative but dead silent audience. I read it in Stanford, and people laughed in ways that sort of amazed me. In a sense, I felt a little glow of triumph because I felt it was the laughter of embarrassment,
yes,
more than anything else. But some women in the audience, I had to stop. I thought they were going to have to be carried from the hall. And it seemed as if I touched some memories or some nerve of profound discomfort. So for me, writing has to be followed by reading aloud, especially reading aloud to a live audience. So some of the inflections and paces and rhythms that I've built up doing that have inevitably found their way into doing it for the studio.
But it sounds like, I mean, you describe those people laughing. It sounds as if you were quite surprised, as if you were discovering something by reading it aloud that you hadn't necessarily known was there.
Not quite. I mean, I feel I took it as praise because I've always taken the view that there's something funny about good writing.
Yes.
That it's innately funny, or comic, maybe. And that if you get laughter in scenes that are not actually slapstick or amusing in the obvious ways and go between the little cracks and small print of ordinary experience, then you can take it as a kind of endorsement. The idea is structured around the purpose of having as little conversation, dialogue between the two characters until the very end.
Yes.
In fact, I was trying to save as much as I could for Florence's speech on the beach, and that much else would be done in a sort of interior way.
Yeah, describe the piece that reduced them to laughter as excruciating. I mean, reading it to myself, the encounters and the awkwardness of the honeymoon night encounter between these two sexually inexperienced people was, I mean, it's extremely involving, but it's almost excruciatingly painful for you too, as a reader. I mean, was that an intended thing? Is that something you experience when you're reading it out loud, that the awkwardness of it and the stuck zips and the sort of positioning of limbs and items of clothing? I mean, it's done as if to kind of enact the awkwardness it describes.
I suppose I take always as my motto Conrad's preface to The Nigger of the Narcissus, to make you see.
Yes.
It's really important to see these things. And if you're going to do this properly, then you have to find ways of reliving the excruciating moment of crossing, again, in Conrad's term, a shadow line, if you like. In one sense, this little novel is a kind of experiment. I wanted to know if that embarrassment, the excruciating nature of sexual inexperience, is something bound in history, or whether it's innate, whether it can spring free of 1962. And so I was very interested to find out what young people, especially sort of in their late teens, early 20s, who've had, you know, boundless amounts of sex, at least in my projection of them. And I'm rather gratified to find that actually there is something enduring, innate for all of us, however cool, however hip. I read one of the crucial scenes of sexual embarrassment to a group of kids at Hunter College in New York. And that's a sort of community college. And these are very streetwise kids. And I did fear that they might say, oh, man, you know, come on, you know, why don't they just get on with it? Why don't they just take a tab of E and chill out? But in fact, from the things they said afterwards, they too had this awful moment, or at least in forms that could allow them to identify with the characters. So, yes, culture and history become rather important in this.